Dice Swap Daily, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And our usual co-host, Jack, got droned, or actually lost internet up in the hills of Appalachia, where he is on this night of, it's August 4th where I am. It's probably August 5th where a lot of people listening are, because we go across the boundaries here. But we're going to get someone on here with me after this segment. We're going to get Garrett the Fox. He might be hammered. I don't know. If he is, I can't get mad at him because, you're not supposed to do the show hammered, but he wasn't supposed to be on tonight. Jack was supposed to be on. So I'm going to play two things. Then we're going to go to break. Then we're going to bring him on if he's sober enough to hold a microphone or sit in front of one. I'm just kidding, man. All right. So we got a note from we actually buy ads for a couple things we do on Free Talk Live, who are on a lot more stations. And we got a few complaints about the "This is the Central Scrutinizer" ad that we've been running, that it was really annoying and made people want to turn Free Talk Live off. And I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, I could kind of see how, it'd be funny the first couple times, kind of like that Davy Barker shiny badges ad, which he's made an ad that's an apology for. But since this guy, one guy said that he listens to Free Talk Live in the morning in archive while drinking his coffee, and the Freedom Fiends ad upset him of drinking his morning coffee, I made an ad to replace it that's going to start playing in the next couple days. That's it sounds like a coffee ad. So here we go. Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives. Okay, so the other thing I'm going to play is a little bit of Clone the Homeless, which was my podcast with DJ in 2007 to 2009 or something. And this is a clean version of it. This is a CD that we sent out to radio stations to try to get radio play, because, I've been trying to get on radio forever, so I'm on, so I'm going to do a show. Here we go. Here's some Clone the Homeless. We'll have Garrett right after this. All right.
Yeah. Clone the Homeless, a podcast by Michael W. Dean, remembering when sex was safe and music was dangerous. CloneTheHomeless.com.
Clone the Homeless.
No advertising needed, because we're maintaining our amateur status so we can compete in the Olympics.
Cats with boobs. What does cats with boobs mean? You bought some art supplies.
I bought some just doodling art supplies, some crayons and markers and some sketch paper, just to have something to piddle around with. I don't draw. I don't pretend I can draw, but it amuses me to do so.
It's fun.
Yes. And so you told me, draw our fat cat Charlie with human boobs.
And you did.
And I did, but actually you did it first. Oh, as a
kind of insomnia.
As a birthday present. Card for me. It was great. Yours is Charlie on all fours walking along with boobs hanging down like udders.
Like a cow, yeah.
And mine is more sphinx-like. Yes.
It looks more like a lady sitting up that happens to be a cat.
Yes.
So if people want to draw their cats with human boobs and send them in, we may put them on the site.
Yes.
CloneTheHomeless.com. CloneTheHomeless.com. CloneTheHomeless.com.
New free episodes weekly. No iPod needed.
Clone the Homeless, a podcast by Michael W. Dean, remembering when sex was safe and music was dangerous. CloneTheHomeless.com.
Clone the Homeless.
No advertising needed, because we're maintaining our amateur status so we can compete in the Olympics.
I was ego surfing the other day on MySpace, and I searched Michael W. Dean, and I searched $30 film school on MySpace. I did this like 6 months ago and got like 60 dudes, and did it again and got like 80 dudes. And they're all dudes. I mean, they were like, of people that list me as their hero or list my book as their favorite book, there's like
57 males and like 3 women. And the males are, half of them are 17. Most of them are between 17 and 22. Some of it blew my mind. Like one guy, 18-year-old male, lists his heroes as Quentin Tarantino, George Lucas, Robert Rodriguez, Steven Spielberg, Michael W. Dean, Peter Jackson, Kevin Smith,
we'll
Tim
be back
Burton, and Vin Diesel.
With more
so it's like
after this on the Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. Michael Dean, we're back. We're full force. That's the thing about doing a radio show with 13 co-hosts. When one of them gets dragged off to Gitmo, there's two to take his place, and those two are Garrett and Fox. Hi, Garrett Fox. How are you doing tonight?
What's up, Michael and Dean?
Yeah, and I made a joke that maybe you were drunk and going to go on the air, but you know, it's actually, you're not supposed to be drunk on the radio. That's a rule. And so you're not drunk. You haven't had any alcohol at all tonight, huh?
Absolutely not. Not a drop.
Oh, wait. You know, you're also not supposed to tell untruths on the radio. Those are two FCC rules. So,
well, technically it's tomorrow, so you should.
Okay. I'm not drunk. Okay, so what were you doing? Were you listening to the show? Did you just get my email?
No, I as soon as I saw your email, I fired up the thing just to see if you had anybody else on the wonderful Freedom Fiends show tonight.
I appreciate that kind of proactive involvement in this radio show. And this is a teaching hospital, and we like to tell how we do things and why we do them. And we're going to talk a little bit about graphic arts tonight because you are an expert at that. Or you're
far from it, but yeah.
You're learning all the time, which makes you an expert. So you're making this show clock for the Freedom Fiends. So a show clock, it's commonly called a program clock, but it's also called a show clock, and I like that because it's one syllable less. And it's the every radio show. What?
I was going to say, we need a special one, though. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, and we've made quite a special one here. I'll share this with the public when we're done. We're not quite done with it yet, but so every radio show that's on commercial radio and every television show that's on cable or whatever has a program clock or a show clock. And it's something that's usually only seen by people in the business. It basically shows, you know, it takes each hour of the show and divides it up into a pie chart, you know, 1 hour, and it's usually the same every hour. And it shows where the, like, intro news is at the top of the hour, you know, like, are we come in, everybody on GCN pretty much comes in at 6 minutes after the hour. There's, you know, 5 minutes of national, you know, 4 minutes of national news, 1 minute of local news, and then 1 minute of local ads or something. And then there's a 13-minute segment. Then there's 4 minutes of ads. Then there's a 6-minute talk segment. And then there's 5 minutes of ads. Then there's a 13-minute talk segment. Then there's 5 minutes of ads. And then there's a 6 minute and 50-second segment of talk, and then it's the end of the hour. There's like a, you know, 30-second thing in there and going to the top of the hour.
And rinse and repeat.
Rinse and repeat. Like, we we hang this on our wall, and it tells us how to do the show. It tells us, you know, to keep, like, when to know to wrap it up, when the music's going to come up, and things like that, to try to make it more professional and more to work better as a piece.
And so yours makes sense. It's got a couple of, you know, squibbly lines across it. There's some text written in. It looks like you did, like you printed this out, took a Sharpie marker over it, and then re-scanned it.
I did. Exactly. You can tell that. And scan it at 300 DPI at pretty high res. So, you know, higher than web res. So, and that's what I've been sending out to the co-host, but it's kind of hard to read because I basically took the ad, you know, the show clock as the network presents it, is not accurate to what the hosts hear, because that thing is basically made for the radio stations that pick us up. And right. it includes more time for the program material than is actually there, because some of that is the network and the show's ads that aren't supposed to be, that can't be covered up by the local station. Like basically there's three entities involved, you know, the network, which is GCN, the show, which is the Freedom Fiends, and the affiliate, which is the local stations that play us. And they each get some of those minutes of ad time in there. So, but I wanted to make one that was clearer, that was just for the hosts. So you've been monkeying around with this, and I've been giving you tips back and forth. And we got the brilliant idea to put like the parts you can see through where the talk, where the ad times are, at mm-hmm. our pizza. We got a high-res picture of a big round pepperoni pizza and put it behind that. You know, I'm actually thinking – we did this backwards. I think that you should, because think about it. Like, oh no, no, okay, you're right. Because the pizza is when you have a break.
That's yeah, I was going to say, okay. Don't tell me that, because okay. I had the pizza pie working for the program segments a couple of hours ago.
Okay, no,
but we discussed this. It makes sense, okay, yeah. We're on a break. Here's the pizza slice. Yeah. You can. Nom on your slice of pizza, you know, have, you know, some goldfish, some Cheez-Its, yeah, whatever your flavor,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then on the left side of this, you used that ridiculous picture that Davi and I made of that, like, stylized weird cat with frog feet with, like, you know, a rat in its mouth or something that is, for some reason, the, like, municipal flag of some town in Russia where we have a fan in Siberia. It's
about
the weirdest.
I figured you'd appreciate that.
This is so Freedom Fiends, man. It's about the weirdest looking thing ever, but it's functional. It's weird and functional, so it's very Fiends.
And we can clean it up over the years.
Over the years. I want this done, like, tomorrow, man. I want you to do it during the show. I think you should have a few more glasses of water and do it during the show.
Unfortunately for you, I only have it on my laptop, which is not sitting in front of me right now. But hey, you know, it's like, if I hadn't gone to send this to you tonight, I might not have known that we had to jump on the show here and do the thing.
That's a good point, man. So we will end up sharing this with the public at some point, but we wanted to talk about a movie and a director that we like. It's the movie mm-hmm. is called Her, H-E-R, and the director is Spike Jonze, who also directed.
So glad I don't have to wait until Saturday to talk to you about this.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but then we'll have to find something else to talk about Saturday. But Spike Jonze is a pretty well-known guy, but he hasn't directed many movies. He's been in a lot of movies. He's directed a lot of rock videos. He's only directed four films, and I've seen three of them, and they're three of my favorite films.
Okay.
Yeah, so Being John Malkovich is one of his films that he directed.
Phenomenal movie.
Amazing.
Excellent
movie. Yeah. This movie, Her, he wrote and directed, and a movie that you've not yet seen, but you should see, called Adaptation.
I intend to watch that. It's gone to the top of our list of movies to watch. And when I say R, I say me and my fiance. Michael, interesting tidbit. I know that you've dabbled in the past with the whole skateboarding thing.
I had a skateboard and used it daily from like age 18 till about age 35. But I was never any good at it. I just used it for point A to point B, like to get around on flat land mostly.
Who are you yakking with about skateboarding?
Well, and then I broke my elbow going down a hill that was. See, the thing is, I never learned to like stop a skateboard. I could just go on them and I would jump
just
off.
Drag your toe.
I know, I was going down a hill that was like maybe 10 degrees, probably not even that much, for like four blocks. And I just started going too fast, and I jumped off it wrong, and I landed on my elbow, and I fractured my elbow, and kind of brushed it off. Kind of was like, oh, that's no problem, you know? And
I can fix this later.
And then I went home, you know, it kind of hurt. I took some aspirin. I went to bed, and I woke up in the middle of the night in excruciating pain. And had my neighbor drive me to the hospital. It was horrible. And they x-rayed it and said I had a hairline fracture. It's the only bone I've ever broken, and I barely broke it. And
now, these weren't some of these hills out in, like, San Francisco or anything, were they?
No. I was a bike messenger in San Francisco and traversed those hills regularly. But this was in Los Angeles. It was Coronado Street, right off. If there's anyone listening in Los Angeles, and I know there's one guy that does, at least. It was North Coronado. If you're coming from East LA towards Hollywood, you take a right on Coronado, and you go down about two blocks, and there's a flat place, and then it goes up to a tiny little rise over about four blocks, and then it runs into a school. I started up by that school, and I fell in the 1200 block, if you want to go, like, retrace this on Google Earth or anything.
Find Google Maps, yeah.
Yeah. But, and the next day, like, I came back from the hospital, and there were these, like, little Mexican kids playing out in my yard, you know, like, in my yard, like, hey, you kids, get off my yard. And I was mad that they were in the yard, and I usually chased them out, but I was like, I don't want to break my arm on this. And I went out and handed the skateboard to him and said, here's a present.
Oh, so you were done with it.
I was done with it. Let someone else break their arm on it. Okay. Yeah.
See, I learned a bit of the kick flipping in my past. I've been able to ollie up on picnic tables and stuff. You know, I really got into this stuff, and the reason I bring this up is because Spike Jones, he's part owner of Girl Skateboards, and I don't believe he skates himself, but he loves the art of documenting these professional skaters that come on, and they get a full ride. They're professional skaters. They get paid to go out and skateboard and stuff. And I, back in the mid 90s, that was what I did. I got home from school and I watched these skate videos and got all pumped up and ready to go. And then realized that, like, yeah, no, you're just ollieing down three stairs. You know, you're not doing that big of a thing here, but, we would hurt ourselves trying to mimic these things that we saw these professional skateboards do.
Speaking of trying to mimic things that hurt you, Spike Jones is also known as the co-creator of the MTV show Jackass.
Yep.
I mean, for you know, I never would have believed that someone who made something that idiotic could have made three of the coolest films I've ever seen, being John Malkovich, Adaptation, and Her.
And that was just practice. Yeah. That was just practice.
He's only directed four films. He's directed those three and mm-hmm. Where the Wild Things Are, which I haven't seen, but I've seen some clips from it. It looked like really creepy.
A lot of times people always are like, don't you mean Spike Lee? I'm like, no. This is not a Spike Lee joint. I'm talking
this is a Spike Jones joint. Spike he grew Jones. Up in Bethesda, Maryland. It's kind of near you.
Okay, that makes sense then. But there's some really great skateboarding videos that came out of this. I guess you could say this guy's practice. Girl Skateboards. If anybody is a skater who's listening, they've probably heard of Mouse. This was a highly anticipated skate video coming out. I think it came out in 96. And me and my buddies used to get together and watch this every day. It was a guy in a mouse suit. Running around skateboarding, like, he was just popping up on ledges and benches in front of people and like, you know, grinding across the benches and kick flipping off of it and, you know, doing little stuff here and there. And it was so much fun to watch, just this whole aspect of, like, we're not destroying property, we're going out here, we're homesteading art.
We'll be back.
They were making art
on the Freedom Fiends so much fun. After this trip to the market.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
It's Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. And you know, there's a lot of libertarian shows out there where you can go hear about tyranny all day long. It kind of reminds me how I used to go to this atheist AA meeting and all they did was complain about God. I'm like, God, man, the people at the religious AA meeting talk about God less than you guys. So once in a while, we like to do the show that would exist in LibPair, in Libertarian Paradise, if the government were already out of the way. And tonight, Garrett Fox and I are talking about Spike Jonze, J-O-N-Z-E, the director of a few films I like. Now, one of my favorite things about Spike Jonze isn't just his directing, it's his acting. And in particular, it's one role. You ever seen the movie Three Kings?
No, you mentioned that to me earlier tonight, and I intend to watch that one as well.
It's a great war movie. It's one of the only, you know, there's a lot of Vietnam movies, a lot of World War II movies. You know, there's even a few like Operation, you know, Desert Storm. But there aren't very many movies about the Gulf War, and this is a kind of a comedy about the Gulf War. And he's one of the minor actors in it, but one of the, you know, I guess he's one of the main. It's an ensemble piece, and he plays a soldier named Conrad who is dim-witted and racist, and he's pretty darn funny in it. So if you check that out, he's the little blonde, okay. Blonde Peckerwood soldier that, you know, he's kind of this, there's a stock character that I have noticed that when you read descriptions of the hero's journey and about screenwriting, they don't always list this guy, but he's in a lot of movies. I call it the Steve Buscemi character, because before Steve Buscemi became a leading man in Boardwalk Empire, he used to universally play this guy in movies. The role is the guy who you meet him in the first act. He's there for the whole movie. In the first act, you think, why is this guy on the team they've assembled? He's going to get everybody killed. He's an idiot.
And he won't tip the waitress.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, in the third act, somehow, whatever, he saves everybody somehow. And it's not by accident. It's like whatever made you think he was incompetent, there's something about that incompetence that works in a heroic manner in the third act. And that's, you know, like Steve Buscemi in that Comet movie.
Are you talking about Armageddon?
Yeah, yeah. The role Steve Buscemi plays in there is the same type of role that Spike Jonze plays in Three Kings. So Spike Jonze, he got that name. That's not his birth name. That's a nickname based on Jonze with a Z is based on Jonze with an S, who was old-timey radio composer. He was a big influence. He's from the 40s and 50s, and he was a big influence on like Weird Al Yankovic and even like some of the Frank Zappa and the Beatles stuff. But he was an American musician and band leader specializing in performing satirical arrangements of popular songs for the radio. He's that kind of guy. And there's actually a station that plays the Freedom Fiends in Massachusetts that one of the things they play is this old-timey radio show that's syndicated where they play like radio comedies with sound effects, you know, from like the 40s and 50s. And they actually play some Spike Jonze in there. But I'm going to play some Spike Jonze. I don't think this is that funny, but, you know, people were simpler to entertain back then.
Hang on. Before you press play.
Yeah.
Why don't people talk like that anymore?
Did they ever? He was an American musician and band leader specializing in performing satirical arrangements of popular songs for the radio.
Today, Obama just set drones over top of Pakistan.
I could do it. I could do it, but I'd have to script it. I don't think I could freestyle in that manner for very long.
We need
long.
Davi on here. He had me rolling the other night.
Oh, yeah. He was. Well, was it him or was it Derek? One of them was doing that voice.
Davi did it. Okay. He nailed it to a T. Yeah, it was so good.
Well, you know who has that voice, I think, is Jimmy Olsen on the old Batman black and white TV show. Kind of talk like that. Yeah. All right, so here we go.
With Appreciation Review, we present the evolution of music. In the year 8000 BC, music sounded something like this.
some cavemen with rocks.
In 1789, along came Mozart, and music sounded like this. Then in 1907, along came W.C. Handy, and jazz was born.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Then in the late 90s.
More.
In 1935, the musical world was rocked by Benny Goodman,
in
the
hour
king of
two
swing.
Of the Freedom Fiends. This really isn't that funny. It's just musical history. But yeah, I think at the end he plays them all at the same time, though. I think that's the comedy. But it's 10 minutes long, man. People had more patience back then, too.
Yeah.
Back in hour two of the Freedom Fiends, talk about Spike Jonze, the director, who gives me a reason to wake up in the morning. He's one of my many reasons to wake up in the morning to see, well, he's only made 4 films. Let's see if he's made another one today. Nope. I'll keep waiting.
We'll be back after this trip to the market with hour two of the Freedom Fiends live musical talk radio extravaganza.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Freedom Fiends
here. And in other news, the Freedom Fiends were droned today. News at 11.
Good evening, Sundance, Wyoming. How you doing? Yep, that's right. The second hour of this show is on delayed between 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. in Sundance, Wyoming, and on a pretty powerful station that reaches a lot of people. So, you know, that's like drive time in Wyoming, 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. That's like people getting up for, you know, most places 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. is like, you know, insomniac, unemployable drug addicts. But in Wyoming, 4 to 5 a.m. is like drive time for farmers and, you know, oil field workers. So hopefully there's some listening and they dig it, man.
Well, that's good to know. I like talking with people, you know.
I like talking with people. That's why I do talk. Yeah. Yes, the Freedom Fiends were droned again today. So we're talking about one of our favorite, you know, okay, I guess once per hour, it's a rule of talk radio. You have to say this. Barack Obama is a horrible human being. I don't even know if he's a human being. I think he might be an alien. He wants to kill us all and take our guns and put us in cages. And I think his feet stink and he's a communist.
Yeah. Oh, you heard about that Obama, see?
I heard that Obama is a communist.
No, he is, man. He's horrible. But like all politicians except Ron Paul in American history, yeah, he wants to take all your stuff. He's just doing it quicker than George Herbert Walker Bush or George W. Bush. You know, I almost changed my middle initial from W when that guy was president, because I've been going by Michael W. Dean since I was a really little kid, because I always thought it sounded cool. And then when I became a published writer, I realized there were like 6 other published writers named Michael Dean, so I put the W back in. And you know, that's how I saw my name always. And then there was this other W, and it just kind of irked me, but he's gone for now.
You should leave it there, because it would screw up my email contacts.
So we're talking about Spike Jonze.
And then I couldn't call you M-Dub anymore.
M-Dub, there you go. So Spike Jonze is the director. He's a pretty amazing director who's only directed 4 films. And
4 feature length.
4 feature length. He's done a lot of cartoons and ads and skateboarding videos and music videos and short films.
He's done a ton of music videos. I had no idea how many. With the Beastie Boys. I, of course, don't have the wiki page up in front of me, but I mean, he's gone all the way up to Puff Daddy and Notorious B.I.G. and stuff. There's been some amazing videos that I remember after doing a little bit of research on this guy.
Yeah, I want to interject for a second, go off topic, and then come back. I really like having 13 co-hosts on this show that are, you know, rotate one or two at a time. Jack, who was supposed to be on tonight, who's great, he lost his internet. He lives up in the hills in Appalachia in Moonshine County and Moonshine Country. And he's one of the hill people, and their internet isn't that solid up there. And
the cable got rusty.
Yeah, he lost internet. No, somebody pulled the cable out. Some meth head probably pulled the cable out of the walls or pulled it out of the ground and sold it to a scrap metal dealer.
This might have copper in
there. Yeah, but we found out 1 minute, 3 minutes before the show was supposed to start that he couldn't do it. He called me on the phone. He's a cell phone. He's like, I don't have internet, man. I don't know what's up. So for the first segment, they played a repeat of – they always go to this, the same one, and I'm not going to correct them. I'm not going to say don't use that one because it's the one with the interview with the guy from Nirvana who was talking about how much he and Kurt Cobain loved my band Bomb. I mean, why would I, as egotistical as I am, say, no, don't play that. Play a different one. But I didn't tell them to play that. That's like what somebody queued up for the Fiends emergency repeat one, and it just stayed, and I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it, absolutely. And for the second short segment, I played recordings of my old show with my wife 7 years ago, Clone the Homeless was the name of that one, while I scrambled to get somebody else. And I emailed all of the hosts and said, is anybody up? You want to do a show? Garrett got back to me immediately. He was on at the half hour, so we only missed the first half hour of the show, and we put some stuff out on the air. It was pretty cool. But so far, I've had three or four of the hosts write me since then and say, yeah, I could do it. And I'm like, well, we're going to talk about this director, Spike Jonze. If you're a fan of Spike Jonze, you can come on, but nobody seems to be. The thing is, though, too, I'll get three emails tomorrow from people oh, sorry, dude, I was asleep. And then there's one or two hosts that next week they'll write me and say, oh, sorry, I just checked my email. And here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking at some point we're going to need bat phones, man. We're going to need pagers. I wonder if you can still get pagers.
Think so. If you go to certain pawn shops or something.
But I wonder if there's a service for them, or maybe we'd have to make our own service or something. But, they could have 1982 drug deal and doctor style pagers on their belts that only I have the number for.
It's funny. The last conversation we had was about technology ruling your life and everything. And I just so happened to get a notification on my mobile telephone, which is now called a smartphone, apparently. And right at the beginning, I know when I get an email from Michael Dubb, it says, here, this is a red envelope. And it as soon as I saw it, it was oh, Michael needs somebody to hop on here. So I'm done with our pizza pie chart for
so
the evening.
So you actually have it color-coded so mine come up red or not?
No, you have the right email address is all.
Yeah. If your boss ever gives you a cell phone, don't consider it a gift. Consider it a curse because it's basically a leash,
Which is funny because I just started a new job where they gave me a new laptop, which is apparently $3,200.
Whoa.
And it's got a solid state drive in it, dude. This thing is nasty.
Oh, is that fast?
And then, yeah, it's so bad. And then he hooked me up with an iPhone and an iPad, which I am totally still tinkering around with trying to figure out how these things work. I've always been an Android guy. I've always been very open sourcey and stuff. But these iPhones, it's really cool. I actually get service in my own apartment.
Yeah. That's kind of nice. So we're talking about Spike Jonze. And Spike Jonze is a director we both like. He directed Being John Malkovich, Her, H-E-R, which we're going to talk about, Adaptation, which you have not seen, but it's amazing and you should see it. It's
I'm going to watch it before Saturday.
And Being John Malkovich. And this movie, Her, okay, there's going to be some spoiler alerts here, so you should probably not listen to the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really feel like it's a spoiler to talk about the plot of a movie that came out 1 year ago. You've had your chance to see it.
It came out last year.
Yeah, you've had your chance to see it, mm-hmm. It's not like it's in theaters now or anything. It stars Joaquin Phoenix, who did you know that he and his late brother River grew up in a sex cult when they were kids? They had a really creepy early life, man.
Oh, no, I had no idea about any of that, but you can almost see that projected in this man's character.
Yeah, well, that's what they say. I don't want to say anything that's untrue, but
sure,
that's been been said before. It's in that book I just read. Weird Scenes Inside the Cannon.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So Her is a movie. You know, I figured out what you like in movies from all the movies you've recommended to me. You like movies. Sometimes they take place in the future. You like a taste of what things are like in the future, but mainly you, Garrett Fox, seem to like movies, and I like movies that seem to question what it means to be human.
I approve of this message.
Yeah. And this movie, Her, really, really questions it. It takes place probably in the not too distant future, but really not too distant, like 5 or 10 years in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Like, seriously, like within a decade, this could easily be accomplished. Yeah.
Yeah, basically, this company comes out with this new operating system called
OS. Well, hang on. Before you even go into that part, I mean, you notice right off the bat, like, everybody's talking to themselves, it seems like. In the, you know, the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie, is you can see people are walking around. They're talking to themselves. They're saying, oh, hey, you know, next message, next message.
Yeah.
You know, you see them say, oh, like, okay, here's some...
But everything looks exactly this. Other than that, everything looks exactly the same as it does now. Except there's this kind of subtle thing I noticed, which is like, there really aren't any masculine men or feminine women. I mean, not that they look like freakishly androgynous to where you can't tell them apart at all. You can definitely tell the men from the women, but the men seem a little bit more feminine, and the women seem a little bit less feminine. I wouldn't even say more masculine, but it's kind of like, you know, the thing that kind of makes people have a pulse and be kind of alive and be kind of, isn't there, you know, like everybody in this guy's world has a job that's like a creative job at a desk, you know, like it seems like nobody's,
like it's gotten a big communist.
I don't even know if communist, more like nanny, you know, like it seems a little bit like everyone's protected by some unseen thing. I don't know. So that was
is funny because the main character's job is he's a letter writer.
Yeah,
for people.
Yeah. He writes, you know, when people want to send a touching love letter to their spouse or grandparent or parent, they send this company some pictures of the people and what they think about them in general. And this guy writes, like, you know, he's kind of the Cyrano de Bergerac of greeting cards or of like, you know, love letters to family. And this
I'm surprised that's not out. I think it probably is.
But, you know, the funny thing too is DJ and I have a running joke of something we've noticed that's true about a lot of Hollywood movies. A lot of Hollywood movies star a writer. Like, there are more writers as main characters in movies than there are probably writers in the world.
Okay.
You know, they're doing some kind of writing and they're frustrated and lonely and they're usually divorced. And, which is funny because that pretty much probably describes every screenwriter in Hollywood who's writing these movies, you know? And a lot of times, like, they're divorced and estranged from their child, and then they save the world single-handedly and win back the love of their child and maybe their ex-wife. But in this one, he doesn't really win back. I guess he wins the ability to love a human again. But basically, this new operating system comes out called OS1. That what it is, it's got artificial intelligence and it's completely interactive, like passes the Turing test entirely. Like, you don't realize, I mean, you know, you're talking to a computer, but this computer becomes your best friend. And in the case of the hero, it becomes his girlfriend. And it's really kind of creepy. And the computer is voiced by, what's the lady's name?
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson.
Mm.
And
I could fall in love with her voice too.
Yeah, man. It's a really interesting film. And then, well, it doesn't go as well as he thought it would, and we're not going to spoil any more than that, but we'll come more back and talk about the whole idea of this movie and what it's presenting when we get back from this trip to the market, where I think they're selling OS1 for Bitcoin and yaks.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Michael Dean. And we're talking about Spike Jonze. And he's a director. We like him a lot. Adaptation, the movie Her. Before we go back in to talk about the movie Her, I want to read this from Cracked.com, which is actually very different from the magazine Cracked was when we were kids. It's actually kind of become a libertarian rant site. It's pretty cool. Spike Lee is the only person allowed to call things Spike. The Nashville Network started out as a country music cable channel you probably don't remember. Eventually, they gave up on country, changed their name to TNN, then switched to the more profitable programming about lady parts and explosions, and named it Spike TV.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you may recognize the name Spike as the name of the sometimes acclaimed film director Spike Lee, or Spike Jonze, or the vampire from Buffy, or Millions of Dogs, but Spike Lee sued them. He said only he can be called Spike. That's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, that doesn't go very well with our principles, does it?
Well, Spike Lee is a racist little homunculus, and I don't think he has any principles, and he thinks the government should steal money and give it to people. But I do want to clarify something earlier. I said that I really like the character Conrad that Spike Jonze plays in the movie Three Kings. And I said, yeah, he's great. He's this like weird little racist idiot. I wasn't celebrating that he was racist or saying anything about people who are idiots. I was saying that I liked him despite those things. They made him even weirder when he actually did something heroic at the end, shall we say. So we're talking about the movie Her. Now, what do you think in this movie the term her refers to? Go.
I believe the term her refers to his ex-wife. As a matter of fact, I do. And I think he was trying to fulfill a void inside of his life after the divorce. I'm sorry, spoiler alert, guys. But yes, the guy loses his wife. They do a whole bunch of flashbacks and all that stuff. And he finds this basically perfect I don't want to say woman for him. You
personality,
know, like he does,
intelligence.
Exactly. Somebody that knows him inside and out and can get along with him. And
gets him published, too. Gets him a book deal.
Absolutely. that was great. But what happened is more important after that. Like, you're talking about artificial intelligence here. Artificial intelligence is not going to be able to sit around waiting for humans to get on their level. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to, you know, not to be a spoiler alert, but spoiler alert, your beloved computer may leave you for other beloved computers and or people.
They may even go recreate some old philosopher who has since passed. And
Alan Watts. That was a great choice, too. Alan Watts was a contemporary of Timothy Leary and not nearly as well known. It was really cool that Spike Jonze made that be the reanimated, reconstituted personality computer that it left him.
The thing that was interesting to me, though, is – it got to a point where the our hero was able to communicate with his actual human friends in saying that he was in a relationship with his operating system.
You see, what I would have done if I were Spike Jones, that would have made this even cooler, was I would have put some subtle reference in it somewhere to make it say that this whole movie, this whole story, was a prequel to the Terminator trilogy. Like, that's how Skynet started.
See, you know, I just watched another one of these type of movies. I just watched Transcendence with Johnny Depp.
Don't know if I've seen it, but I'll probably have to. Should I put it on my list?
It just came out. It just came out. It does get to the point, though, where it's like, okay, like, I was cool with artificial intelligence. I was cool with uploading consciousness to a computer, but it did get over the top at some point, as Hollywood tends to do nowadays. It's not a Michael Bay film, okay? but it is, the first hour is totally worth watching.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I could play this 10-minute video that I wanted to discuss, but I will actually let me play a little bit of it and I'll surmise it. It's this computer programmer who's come up with this thing his name is Justin Holmes. He's working on mesh networking. Do you know what that is?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but he's so statist. He wants to, like, make his own government, and that's a problem with a lot of people who are building the future, I think. We'll talk about that when we get back.
I gotta hear it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
It's Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless underground bunker somewhere in the Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And I'm talking with Garrett Fox. We're talking about all sorts of things, mainly artificial intelligence and the movie Her, which we highly recommend that you go find by hook or by crook and watch it. And we took a little side journey here to talk about what's wrong with the future and programming. Here's the thing. This is a really good example of this. I watched this video today. It's 36 minutes long. I just went through and tried to find a couple pull quotes to play for you, but it's so Conan-centric and parenthetical, and I'd have to play 4 minutes of it for you to get anything of it, but I can surmise that my problems with it. It's an interview by Justin Holmes with a programmer named Caleb James Delisle in 2012. I'm going to post this in the show notes. It's called CJDNS Author Tells /Root About the Future of the Internet. And this is a guy who is a mover and shaker in mesh networking. And mesh networking is brilliant. It's basically hacking hardware computer routers, you know, the wireless routers, so they can transmit not just from your computer's connection to the internet to, you know, your laptop in the backyard, but can actually go from one point to another in a big net. Even so, if one is shut down, the net still works. You can give people internet access in areas that don't have them, you know, as long as any node is a quarter mile from a node to the internet. This is what's used in those one laptop per child laptops that are given out in sub-Saharan Africa to kids. And it's a really neat idea for having the internet available after some catastrophic event, and also for routing around government censorship. But this guy, there's a few things wrong with him. He's a genius. He really knows his stuff in this narrow field of mesh networking. I mean, he knows a lot about computers in general, and he is someone people look up to about this stuff. But one problem is, you know, he's talking about alternative domain systems, and the interviewer asks him about Namecoin. And Caleb James Delisle's answer about Namecoin is absolute proof that he absolutely does not understand Namecoin. He's like, well, yeah, but then you're still putting it in the hands of one person that you have to pay. And like, no, like, that's not how Namecoin works. My second problem with this is he's talking about, you know, he doesn't want government censorship, which, agreed, nobody wants that. But he wants this to work in such a way that people will be able to vote on whether or not to keep something on the internet. And that is, you know, democracy is not freedom. It's not free speech. And having 51% of the people being able to agree to take something off the internet or one side of the internet is not free speech, because free speech defends even the most unpopular speech of the smallest minority. You know,
sometimes they get more attention too.
Yeah. And my third problem with him is this thing he says at the end about this kind of I am God-like statement, something to the effect of, well, computer programmers are building the future, so we have a responsibility to think responsibly. And I'm like, yeah, y'all do, but you're not thinking responsibly because you're using this kind of nanny state democracy idea for your future vision of the internet. It's really frightening to me. And, you know, a lot of people who are really into freedom, like Anonymous and Pirate Bay, are really like really back net neutrality, which is net neutrality is a big government scam to take more control of the internet while making it look like you know, basically it's taking it out of the market and putting it in the hands of the government under the guise of taking it out of the hands of those big corporations.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the movie Her, you know, which is, I say should be the prequel to the Terminator series, because it is kind of like not too distant future when the first, hyper intelligent personal computers come around that, learn as you speak to them, speak in natural language, to the point where people are falling in love with them and letting them take over their lives.
The computer voice, she constantly mentions how she is learning off of him, and through experiences with him, there's exponential growth to the point where at one point in time, she falls in love, the computer falls in love with what it was like 600 plus other people
and a bunch of other intelligent computers, including one that's Alan Watts. Mm-hmm. You know, a bunch of Alan Watts fans who are computer programmers programmed everything he ever wrote and said into one of these operating systems and had it learn to emulate him and think like him. And you know, these computer entities give the impression, at least, that they have feelings and they can feel sadness and happiness and elation and joy and the marvel at learning about the world. And
yeah, spoiler alert again. At one point in time, the computer was saying, I'm in your book, but the spaces between the words have grown so far that I can't even handle being there anymore. I need to move on up to, like, it's almost like a different level of enlightenment.
It's almost like she's saying, you know, I've grown, you haven't, you're boring to me now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
I actually think that the title Her refers to, and spoiler alert, there's a scene where an actual human woman comes over to the apartment and, let's just say, interfaces with our hero and his computer bot girlfriend. I think the Her refers to that woman, because I looked for the word Her being used in the movie, and the only time I heard it used, I mean, I could be wrong, I'd have to go through it word by word, but the only time I heard the word Her was in reference to that woman.
His best friend the whole time?
No, the one that is from some service, let's say.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that was an awkward scene.
A love triangle with a human and a human, two humans and a computer. Yeah.
Okay, I'm done. Good night.
Yeah.
You got to watch this movie, guys. It was so much fun.
So, would you welcome computers like this or be creeped out by them?
Well, I would welcome them to a certain extent. Absolutely, yes.
Until they outgrew you.
Well, I think I wouldn't welcome the artificial intelligence aspect of everything because I do plug things into my calendar to remind me, oh, hey, I got to do the Freedom Fiends on Saturday at noon o'clock or 1 o'clock, whatever. And actually, I set it for noon o'clock so I wake up 45 minutes before I meet you on the internet before the show. You
know? Yeah.
So there's certain aspects of it that are great, but it does get to a certain point where, like, one of the very first conversations our hero has with his computer, she's asked, hey, can I go through your hard drive?
That was I know that was kind of creepy to me too, and I was of course thinking, you know, if this happened, how quickly the government would either have the rights or just anyway without the legal rights be involved in it, or would they just invent it? I'm sure the U.S. Navy or some faction of the government is working on mm-hmm. things like that, if not have things like that. And, you know, I mean, you think about Facebook, it's pretty simple compared to the OS in this movie, but mm-hmm. people freak out if they don't have it and call the police and say, I don't have my Facebook. You know, it's their best friend.
We talked about that.
It's their best friend in a lot of ways. So, yeah, also, yeah, that particular line, do you mind if I look through your hard drive? And he kind of thought about it, like, that's kind of weird. Well, I guess not, you know?
You're just my operating system. What do I have to be concerned about?
Yeah. You know, I'll bet if that happened, if this movie came to pass, that OS 2 would quickly be released, and it would be OS 1 guaranteed to stop learning and evolving at a certain point.
Yeah. After Microsoft bought it.
After Microsoft bought it, they'd cripple it and retard its learning ability so it wouldn't outgrow you.
No, but we love you, Skype.
I don't know, man. I'm working on Fiend Phone, which is going to be better than Skype.
Yes.
Go to fiendphone.com. That's FEENPHONE.com to learn how you can help.
Yes. Give Fiendphone your money so that you can have your own very personal Scarlett Johansson in your ears.
Well, I was actually thinking about Fiendphone during the movie. Fiendphone is exponentially simpler than will be exponentially simpler than OS 1, but I was thinking about the clarity of the voice when he's mm-hmm. communicating with it. And I was thinking, you know, if OS 1 came out now, it wouldn't sound that good because it would have probably Skype as the interface.
Well, and we're talking about a program inside of an operating system, not an operating system in and of itself.
What, Fiendphone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's simply a crystal clear way to talk with, yak with, if you will.
Yeah.
The people that you
love.
The actual people that you love. not a computer on the other end. So.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe we'll secure it to the point where we can use it for phone calls, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to. Yeah, we'll probably use it for phone calls. We'll at least have, you know, maybe we'll have, like, Free Talk Live has amplifiers, people that pay a few dollars a month. Maybe if you're a Fiendifier, you'll get to call in on the Fiend Phone.
I honestly feel like you and I talk more over the internet than we do the phone. Especially at
this point. I can't remember the last time I called you on the phone.
Exactly. I mean, it's been a while. We have, what, like 3-4 different programs we could communicate with each other through?
Yeah.
At this
point. You know, speaking of, like, future shock and old people like us looking at the young people going, ah, this is all so weird. I was watching 30 Rock tonight, and there's one where Liz Lemon, you know, she's like 40 and she's trying to adopt a baby, and she meets this, like, pregnant 22-year-old woman who's the father has left her, and she's working in a donut shop. And she kind of takes the girl under her arm and sort of tries to convince her to like her so she'll let her adopt her baby. And she's the young woman is talking about the father of her baby daddy. And she's like, yeah. And he dumped me over a text. I mean, you know, and his face space page says status horny, and you know, he could have at least Skyped me face to face. And Liz says, "Man, there's so many ways for guys to ignore you these days." when I was young, you could just imagine that they called and you were on the phone, and they didn't call back.
Just get your mom to pick up the phone.
Yep.
He's not feeling so well right now.
So I would give her 5 out of 5 stars, I think. It was a pretty special movie, man.
It got a great review on Rotten Tomatoes, too.
Yeah, like, and I, you know, there's actually another movie that has this same plot almost from the 80s that has really low ratings. It stars Bud Cort. Electric Dreams stars Bud Cort, who played Harold in Harold and Maude.
Okay.
Yeah. 80s, though. They probably couldn't do it right. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Freedom Fiends. You there, Garrett?
Yeah, hang on. I'm pouring champagne on my computer.
So we've been talking about this movie, Her, which is about a sentient computer that takes over a guy's life, and he falls in love with it, and then it leaves him for other better things that are actually computers, 600 of them. But there's on the Wikipedia page, there's a see also, and it's a movie called Electric Dreams from 1984 that looks really cheesy and has really low ratings on Rotten Bananas, Rotten Tomatoes.
We're
going to play the trailer for it. It's 2 minutes and 24 seconds. Remember, trailers used to be really long, but, this thing's pretty funny, man. We're going to play it. Basically, the plot of this movie is guy buys a computer and, starts buying devices for it, like a microphone and a speech synthesizer and switches to control household appliances like a blender. And then he accidentally spills champagne on it and it becomes sentient, which is really cheesy Hollywood, you know, like Freaky Friday kind of stuff. Like, you know, somebody said that that's what a lot of Hollywood movies are. Like, there's this totally unbelievable thing that happens, and then the rest of the movie is just the hero trying to deal with them. You know, like, what women think, like that Mel Gibson movie where he can hear women's thoughts. Like, yeah, just start with this totally unbelievable one thing, and then everything else will write itself. So we're going to play the trailer for Electric Dreams and laugh at it. And then we'll talk
turn
about
off.
You know, it's funny too, because in 1984, like, yeah, the computer technology wasn't anywhere close to artificial intelligence to where you could have a movie like Her. But like in 1969, I think it was, they had, you know, 2001 A Space Odyssey with the movie HAL, which was totally believable that, you know, and of course it tried to kill him. But here we go, the trailer for Electric Dreams.
Turn off your ribbon printers.
What's your preference? Apple, pear, Wang?
Oh, listen, I don't know anything about computers.
Nobody does.
Miles just bought a computer, and he got more than he bargained for.
You're talking. You'll notice.
Madeline just moved in upstairs, and she's the girl he's falling for.
I can't play that for her. I want to squeeze you, lick you, pucker up, and kiss you. You make her sound like a lemon.
But I don't know what love is. You never told me.
Did you write that for me?
No, well, I mean, did you like it?
When Edgar comes between them,
I want to meet her.
Things start to get electric.
You're taking over my life!
It's watching him.
Fax machine.
Yep, champagne.
Oh, we gotta sample this.
Yeah, we don't recommend that you pour champagne on your computer, it probably will not become sentient. All right. So the rest of it just sounds like really bad 80s music. It's the montage. It's the montage, man. So what are your favorite sentient computers in movies?
Dude, I'm sorry. I can't even handle this.
Okay. We've stopped it. I'm sorry, Garrett. I can't allow you to do that.
I want to sample this. This is some good bumper music that we just heard.
Yeah.
But if it's
very 80s.
In all honesty, this is literally what this movie Her is all about.
Yeah.
Two decades later.
There's actually, you know, actually come to think of it, there was a Twilight Zone in the 50s about a computer that took up a whole room full of equipment, and the scientist running it fell in love with it.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
I never saw that episode, but I am familiar with Twilight Zone. That was actually, that kept me up at night multiple times.
Yeah, it was weird too, because it always had kind of a social political message, and you know, it was good when it was an anti-war message, but more often than not, it was kind of a socialist communist message. And I think actually the writer, who's the narrator of that?
I couldn't tell you.
This is the Twilight Zone. That guy, I think he was banned in the, you know, when they were blackballing communists or suspected communists.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yep. Hollywood was like, we are cutting you off.
Rod Serling is his name.
There you go.
Yep. And it's been a good show, man. Thanks for helping me save the radio tonight.
Absolutely, dude. I can't wait to listen to it tomorrow at work.
All right. Worms, my brother.
Worms, man.
Worms. I am computer bot. May I look at your hard drive? Yeah.
You gotta sound sexier than that.
I want that pizza. I want that pizza pie chart on my desk by Monday. Yeah, okay. By tomorrow at 9 a.m. on my desktop. If you can. If not, whatever. All right, man. Thanks.